Because I'm a.
Kevin, are you able to hear? You can unmute yourself, Kevin. Oh yeah, okay, that's great. Kevin says yeah.
Okay.
All right. So I don't know if did I record?
You did.
Is it
It
recording to the
says this
sound?
meeting is being recorded.
Okay, so somewhere the recording's going.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that my. All right. Hello, everyone. I think most of you know me. I'm Rohit. I'm a second year PhD student at the lab, or third, depending on who you ask. So I'll be talking about this new line of work that I've been interested in recently, which is can we discover novel visual concepts inside the diffusion models? Sounds very complicated. So we can maybe dissect it a little bit and see what I actually mean by this. So image generation has started from a very humble place. It used to be so bad. You can't figure out what those images are because they don't make sense. But the state of the art is so good and it's so creative that you can generate almost anything that you throw at it. Thanks. So when a new diffusion model comes out, maybe some of you have played around with it. The usual way that we explore a diffusion model is we test it by pushing a bunch of prompts through it and figure out what the model gives. Right? That's the usual way of exploring the model. And it's super boring, right? You just throw a bunch of prompts at it. People like flood your Twitter with, oh my God, this look at this model versus that model. It's so good. This is better. But maybe there are like some fun ways to do it. Right, we've released concept sliders last year, which tries to make this text-based exploration a little fun. So the idea is when you ask the model a person, it gives you a nice image of a person. And when you say, no, I need a bearded person, it knows what a bearded person looks like. And when you ask for a clean shaven, it knows that too, right? If the model knows all of these concepts, maybe there are certain locations inside the model which you can tap into and figure out how to control that aspect of in this example, the beard aspect of the image. And concept sliders gives you these very nice slider-based adapters, which you can essentially attach to your model, right? So what does it really do? Why am I saying it's fun? Well, if you ask for a person, you get a person. But now if you have a slider for beard, and you add to your model and run the same prompt again. Now your person has beard. And do you see the scale on top of the beard slider? You can reduce it. And it reduces the intensity of slider, the beard. Now, that's a little fun, but you can also add other sliders that you can maybe train, like maybe smile slider, and it makes the person smile. Glasses, right? This is just one example. But the general theme is that you have this complex control now that is enabled to you. You train 100 sliders, you have 100 dimension control that you can get on your model. You are basically steering it to have a certain behavior, right? And now maybe that's a little fun, right? Little fun.
It's more fun because it's more fine-grained, or why?
You have a better exploration now, right? You can compose concepts and like maybe try to come up with this new concept. So the example here is that we have open sourced the code.
Oh, but I think, to be explicit though, I think the answer is yes, because you're not changing the layout of the image. You can stay keep with the same image and change
Yeah.
it more fine-grained, right? Or at least you have control over how fine-grained it is.
But does it work as good as the model that you train those slider on? Like if you get a new model releases. Can you use the same slider and it works as good as?
Yeah. So if there's a distilled version of that model, you don't have to train the sliders again.
Okay.
But if it's a totally new architecture, then probably you have to because there are adapters on top of the architecture itself.
Yeah.
So depending on the new model, you might have to retrain them. But once you retrain it and you open source it, anyone can take it and use it, irrespective of what the prompts are. That's a generalized slider that always makes everyone smile. And you can control the level of intensity. So the story is that once we released it, people loved it and they started open sourcing all their sliders. There are websites just for sliders where people can go in and like publish their sliders, show off that, oh, see how creative I am. And people will be like, no, no, I have a better idea. Let me do this. And we have a database of like super creative sliders, which we couldn't come up with in our paper. So now that you have this additional control, it's you have a better way to explore these things, right? But it's a very subjective experience. If you're creative enough and like really creative, you can dig in a lot from these models. And the more you dig in, the more you squeeze out the performance or the concepts that you discovered. So to like really get to the point, what I'm trying to make here is I'm going to take a figure which is inspired from the Bean Kim's paper. Right, there's a human knowledge that we all know that we have, right? Some of us have a lot of it, some of us are like really creative, but I'm collecting all of it, I'm making this huge human knowledge. And we made this pre-training data for the model, which is like a really small portion of it, right? It's just the visual portion of human knowledge. And we train a model on top, and it's not going to be 100% accurate. It's not going to capture everything, maybe this much, right? Can I call this the model's knowledge? Maybe not, because this model can create like so many different things which never really existed in the pre-training data, right? It can make horses ride on astronauts. It can make astronaut hatching from an egg. Anything you throw at it, it's pretty much going to help you build it. So it has like these new physics or some sort of concepts inside it, which we don't know that it exists.
Sorry, in this case, I kind of want to understand how to, like, I think how nuanced is knowledge, because like, I think each word specifically, like astronaut hatching an egg, is probably something that was there in like past images.
Yeah.
And so like, yeah, I guess how compounded you are talking about the knowledge of that.
At this point, like I'm not making any restrictions on the knowledge definition. Like in this specific example, what I'm trying to get at is this particular example doesn't exist. And the physics of it, like how does it know that the astronaut is going to put hands on top of the eggshells and it's trying to come out? Like these are things which you need to have like a more deeper understanding of than just, if I show you, like you were born and I show you like 5 billion images, it's really hard to come up with these compositions and like these new physics that we didn't explicitly teach it. So this is an example because I could come up with this. That means this is my human knowledge, right? If I came up with this prompt, but this is still something which I wouldn't assume the model has. So what does the model have in addition that I can't really look into?
Is there another image where like get a prompt and then look at the generated image and would say like, oh, me as a human, I would never have come up with that image. Which goes a bit beyond this one, because like if you give this prompt to me, I'm not a good drawer, but maybe I would draw something similar.
Right. Yeah. So it gets to my point, which is I don't know how to get to such an image.
Ah, okay. Because, yeah, fair.
Like it restricts to my knowledge of what could happen with these models. So having an example like this maybe throws you off a little, but the point is that I don't know what that new concept is.
Yeah.
But the fact that it can draw this, even though it doesn't exist, gives me like some hope that there's probably some additional knowledge outside this gap, which the model could have. And I'll show you some evidences that maybe it does. So concept sliders is going to let you explore this space of this intersection between the model's knowledge and human's knowledge. Any prompt you throw at it, it's going to help you control that aspect. And with 50,000 sliders, like you have 50K dimensions of control over your images. But what about this space? How do I control it? Like there's no, I can't even describe what the image might look like. How would I even go about controlling it? And I don't know like if this is the right proportion of it, like maybe there's more to it than it actually knows, like actually we know about it. So it's such a mysterious question, which is still open. There is like a lot of work that's happening in the AlphaGo side of things with this sort of like that's Bean Kim's work. They have like really excellent work in this, but visually we don't know how much diffusion models are capable of yet. So Let's try to like more solidify what I'm trying to say here, right? You have your pre-training data and the corresponding text captions. You train them for days, and then something happens and the model has this knowledge, which it's, you know, probably referring to, because it doesn't have access to the training data anymore. It has learned some compact representations of it. But the sad part is that we don't have access to it, right? Or at least the general public. You interpret research as if I throw you the diffusion model, you'll probably figure it out. But the general sense for today is that we don't really know what's the entire knowledge space of any model yet. But that's what we're all working towards. So what might be happening when you prompt a model is that it's probably tapping into like one of its concepts that it has learned, or like combinations of concepts, and giving you this nice image. A much cooler way to explore this model would be like if you really break it, if you break the barrier and get into the weeds of it and just probe these individual concepts and like try to figure out what the model is doing, right? Like you, maybe you could get like some of the concepts that you've seen. The most interesting thing is you're going to see concepts which you probably have never seen or like even dreamt of before, right? There's a high chance that you're gonna stumble upon something novel, which I think is like the most interesting part beyond the use of generative models, right? But it's not so easy to break it, right? If it was, then probably we all would be doing that. So let's try to make this problem easier so that we can tackle it from some one of the edges on this like multi-edged sword, right? The most common fact that we know about diffusion models is that if you give one prompt, you can use diffusion model to literally generate infinite samples and variations of this that one prompt, right? The only way to do it is that you can vary the initial input noise that you give to the diffusion model, and you have like infinite potential to generate images. So a question is, how is the model generating so many diverse toys? Right there, maybe there's like, if you look into it, maybe the model has some compact representations or breaking a concept into like these lower level features. For example, Lego plush knit. And what it could be doing for like that one, for each image, is that it's weighing these lower dimension concepts, like 90% plush. This image, I'm going to make 90% Lego, 0% plush, maybe like 2 to 3% of knit. Right, it has access to these, if it has access to such directions, this is such a intuitive way to make it work, to have infinite samples. So how does it break a concept and encode this information is what we worked on in the Adobe's project that I've done over summer. And we have maybe some understanding of how it might be doing it, or if there are such concepts that exist. So what is happening is basically the overall view is that we look at, through concept sliders, we try to discover directions unsupervisedly. Just ask the model to give me, what do you think a toy is made of? And it gives me like 64 directions, or like it's a hyperparameter, 1,000 directions. And then we go into the each of these directions and like look at what this direction could be, right? We label these directions post-discovery. And we found that some of them can be labeled by these large vision language models like Claude or GPT-4. And most of them cannot be, right? We get these so generic, repeated, not so realistic labels. And I think that's like a sign of maybe we don't know some concepts that these models are encoding. So I'm going to stop here for like a few seconds to see like if you understood like what sliders are doing. If you have any questions.
I haven't read this paper yet, so I'm just wondering how, like, if you were able to give a quick explanation of how you discovered all the direction.
Yeah, that's I'm
going. Oh, that's what you're gonna do. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was just.
I thought you were gonna talk.
No, just the motivation or like what we are aiming to do is, if that's clear, I can go ahead.
Motivation is really clear.
Okay. So yeah, we want to discover directions, but we don't want to explicitly mention, because that we are restricting ourselves as humans if we just say, I want Lego, I want plush. Maybe ask the model, what do you think the toy is made of? Right? That's the short version of it. So how does it work? Well, we first generate a bunch of images. And there are hacks on how we do this, but this is the overview, simplest version of doing it, right? And then we extract some semantic features in that image distribution that the model gives us. And what we aim to do is maybe we can get these sliders to mimic the highest variation directions in the semantic space, right? Maybe like I might not go into like the details of training it. The simplest version is this, which is we generate a bunch of images. Now that's the distribution that the model, like that's a proxy for, okay, model, tell me what you know about toy. It's like, okay, here are like 20K images. That's not the number I'm just giving. Just an example. Here are 20K images. This is what I know about toys. Can you figure out what it is? And we go into, like, we need some semantic information, right? We just don't want random directions that are given by the model. So what we do is we try to encode these images into a semantic representation space. So CLIP, I think most of you are aware of it, which is CLIP is trained on contrastive loss. So CLIP knows what an image is and what the text caption of that could be, right? So that means all the image representations have to be grounded to something meaningful. So now we transform all these images into this semantic embedding space. And then we say, let's try to look at what are the top variation directions in the semantic space. Like maybe the model thinks Lego is like a really strong direction in toys. And what better space to look at than look at the semantic space itself? We have ablations doing like different semantic spaces. Just the diffusion space, like no other semantic encoder. We just look at the diffusion outputs and look at the PCA directions. But we found that having the semantic space as an additional tool to view these directions gives some really consistent and maybe useful fun directions for us to work with.
How large is the CLIP?
How large?
Is it CLIP L or is it CLIP 8?
I think it's the CLIP L16 layer.
I don't know what people do nowadays, but STXL or something is still conditioned also using CLIP embeddings, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's funny.
So
to go like full circle in some ways.
Right. I'm going to show you like dyno features and some FaceNet features.
Mm.
FaceNet is basically an encoder that would help with facial recognition.
Or you can take whatever you want.
Whatever you want. Any encoder that you have, you can just use it instead of the CLIP. Yes.
And I assume that you get very different PCA directions based on the encoder, right?
Yes.
So you don't just ask, okay, what's the diffusion model's knowledge, but what's the diffusion plus semantic embeddings knowledge and learn?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's what's, like, explain this diffusion model's knowledge,
yeah,
restricted to a semantic space,
mm-hmm,
right? So whatever that semantic encodings, whatever the width of it is, we are restricting it to that right now.
Mm-hmm.
We tried not restricting it, and we didn't find consistent, amazing directions.
You tried not restricting it?
So instead of taking the PCA in the CLIPS feature space, we just take the
PCA in the models.
In the models representation space.
Yeah.
But the directions that pop out of it are usually the ones that corresponds to color, texture.
Not very interesting.
Not super interesting, but it does exist.
Well, when you take the models representation space, do you take the output of the diffusion or do you take something intermediate?
So we've tried both of it. Mm. The output is usually like super granular. If you take intermediate states, then we couldn't really look at, like, none of that could be labeled. We do have...
Are you using turbo or actually are you doing like multiple diffusion steps here?
So this is multiple diffusion steps. We do DMD, turbo, we do flux, the latest models. So this is not restricted to any time steps or like the model
yeah.
Distillation. So,
you briefly go into some level of technical detail of like how a slider is implemented? I mean, I imagine it is not the same thing as a SAE,
yeah.
You know, just adding a vector to some.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't have how I implement a slider. I could go into it. Like maybe I'll just switch the slide to sliders a little bit and give you just how it's implemented. In a bit, like just after I finish, there are some questions and then I'll just do no questions. Okay. Right. So to close off this discussion, which is like I think very important, there you could do this without restricting it to an encoder. But the outcome of it is so vast and so indescribable that it was hard for us to put it in the main paper. But we have most of it in appendix and some of it in the main paper as well. It's just that none of it was describable because we're not restricting it to the semantic space. So for the sake of presentation, I am going to show you most of the results from Clip or Dino or FaceNet. Because like we get the top 4 or 5 features are going to be describable and the rest are going to be like super crazy and wacky. But yeah, just so that you feel, oh, I know that it's a Lego, but I don't know what the other one is because I have no idea. Just to give the theatric effect.
Is this open sourced?
This is going to be open sourced this week, next week. So. Yeah. Whoops. How do I get out of it? Okay.
I have some clip models that are trained on like the latent space of the STXL Turbo VAE. So I could do this cheaper
mm-hmm.
by not having to decode the images. And I would like to see what my clip sees.
Oh, so you're...
I want to see what my latent clip sees.
Do you use your diffusion model for training data for your clip?
Yeah.
I see.
I mean,
it's bootstrapped.
I VAE encoded a bunch of Lion.
Oh, so it's not trained on generated images, it's trained on VAE.
Yeah, but it is still kind of effective on generated images.
Nice.
Mm.
Nice. That's great.
So slider is basically a low rank adapter on top of whatever layer you have. Like it's linear layers, convolution layers, you can have low rank adapters on top. So it's as simple as that, implementation-wise. We just attach a low-rank adapter. The way we train it is different for concept sliders and different for slider space. But I think most of you know concept sliders because
so you in principle, could have LoRas in the whole
network. In the whole network, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But we just restrict it to non-cross attentions because we believe that's where the visual information is. Because cross attentions are going to be
in this work now,
in concept sliders and slider space,
in both the works.
So the reason is it dates back to our erasing concepts work, where we found that actually Jaden found that if you restrict all your edits to the cross attentions, then you are going to also restrict it only to the text understanding of the model. But if you go beyond these layers, because cross attentions are probably 0.4% of all your model's weights. The remaining convolution layers, all the linear layers, MLPs, ResNets, are going to be encoding the visual understanding of the model, which probably, and we did discover that with concept sliders, you can discover things that cannot be described in words, but can be described with image pairs. Most of the artists have done that, so I can show like an example of what I mean. So there's this wavy eyebrow thing. I don't know if you can see it. It's maybe I'll try to. Oof. So this is like one of the art by this open source artist who always makes these photographs with people, and then he edits these eyebrows to be wavy in shape. So we collected his data set. And then we were able to encode it only when you train sliders on self-attentions and the remaining layers. But when you restrict it to cross-attentions, it has a really hard time to figure out what this is.
Wavy eyebrows.
wavy eyebrows. Yeah, it doesn't do it. You can try Stable Diffusion XL. It doesn't do it very well. Even like these gigantic eyes that it has, it goes to a certain level, but beyond the animation, it doesn't go after a certain point. So yeah, that's the sliders part of it. It's really like as simple as just having a low rank adapter, but the training is pretty different from regular low rank adapters. Yeah, do you have any questions, other questions about the method?
Do you think it's just like a fundamental language thing, or do you think it's more that the model being trained with image and text learns to defer to images for things that are more image, like wavy eyebrows could be very metaphorical from like a language standpoint. But in the clear context here, it makes more sense for it to be like an image specific thing rather than like a, I imagine like a really strong like language model, like text only, would be able to in somehow like understand conceptually what that is. But I guess like here it doesn't. And I was just wondering whether you think that there's like a trade off, like a certain like minimal amount of language learned on the flip side versus the.
Okay, I think that's an interesting question. There are models that use these powerful language models, like Llama 8B was integrated with SDXL. I wonder maybe if you look at the cross attentions there, maybe it already knows all of this information. It could be grounded to the clip text encoder that's used to condition these diffusion models. But that's an interesting question. I don't have an answer for it, but it's probably interesting to look at if the text understanding of the model has increased because you use the powerful language model. So yeah, we decomposed some concepts. We tried decomposing monster. The first few are pretty decent, like spiky tentacles we have. So it's something that we would think of when you think of monsters. And by the time, like somewhere around the middle layers, like the middle PCI directions and like the end PCI directions, we find things that are hard to describe, but the model gets to like some point close to it. Blue bestial is not the right description for it, but it's the closest that the model could get to. And we don't have a name for what that is yet. Unless like there are linguists who can like get to it and tell what that is. I don't know what that is. For cars, I'm just showing like some of these directions we found again. So yeah, that's the steel tinted vintage. It's probably not that, but that's the best label that the model could give. There's something very nuanced that the slider is doing, which really we don't understand what it is. So here are like some sliders. Since these are sliders, you can like slide the effect of these directions. And with the spaceships, we found UFOs and like Star Wars and Battlestar Galactica related spaceships. With wizards also, we have those names. I don't know how much I trust the labels, but it's Claude given, so I'm just going to put it on the slide. We have more of it on our website. So many more. So if you want, you could like just go and visit and have fun with it. So that's like that's just the fun part of things. I'll talk more application oriented business side of things. Art style exploration is usually done through manual efforts. When a new model comes out, there's this team called Pirate Zone, which they're like really passionate about listing out all the art styles that a new model can mimic. And so far we have around 8,000 artists that were manually explored inside this Stable Diffusion. The reality part of it is that it's a 7-month effort done by 250 artists, and it's a very labor intensive work. So the natural question we had was, oh, there were some questions in the chat.
Hello. Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Oh, okay. Is there a concept? Oh, yeah, I don't think. Okay, so the natural question we asked was, if I use the prompt art style, oh, maybe I should have mentioned this. So slider space to train slider space. All you need is one text prompt of the concept that you want to break, and the rest of it is taken care of by the method. And the output of the slider space is going to be how many other sliders you need, like hundreds, thousands of sliders would just pop out of the model's knowledge. So to explore style, we just use this text prompt art style. And then slider space gave out some directions. And the interesting part is none of these directions exist in real life. So we passed on all the slide, the artistic directions we have to Parrot Zone team. And they don't recognize any of it. But they believe that this could be like some inspirations that the model is taking and building its own art styles. Like, for instance, the 25th direction sort of looks like Van Gogh inspiration, but it's not really that. It's just an inspired version of it is what the team feels. So one takeaway, which is not application takeaways, which is like just a very interp takeaway, is that when the model is learning art, it's not really learning to mimic art styles. It's actually dissecting the concept of art into these intuitive directions, and it's combining multiple directions to make the mimic art. So this is probably more ethical way of exploring art in diffusion models. You don't have to say Van Gogh art and like have the artist offended. It's just a slider space direction 25, which looks sort of like Van Gogh, but it's not, right? So getting back to the motivation side of things, it's almost like if you go to an art class and the outcome of it is just you able to mimic art styles, it's probably not the best outcome. But probably you would want to create your own art styles, which you are inspired from all this art that you see in nature or like in the class that you've seen, and maybe come up with your own. But that doesn't mean that you can't mimic them, you still can. Except you have your own knowledge of what art is. And I think that's very interesting that we found with slider space. So I'm going to show you some experiments, especially now it comes to like the evaluation side of things. Some natural questions or like question as a person who doesn't believe in slider space that I can ask is, wait a minute, why should I trust in slider space more? Why should I even train slider space? Why can I not do some alternatives to extract all this information from the model, right? So let's look at some baselines that we came up with. And I'm like really happy to hear your thoughts on, are there better baselines or are we really underselling it? Is something that I would want to hear from you. So one baseline is that, oh wait, so there's this real artist. What this means is that this is our gold standard data set, right? We have all the manually curated artist names from this huge study that people have made. So we generate images using the artist names and collect a huge data set of gold standard models' entire knowledge of art, right? Or in other ways, that's the art that it can mimic that it has seen in its pre-training data, right? That's the good way to put it. So I'm going to call this my true distribution. And my first baseline is going to be generic prompt. I'm going to just pass the word art style in artwork in the style of a famous artist and sample different images from the model. What I would expect is that the model would give me different images because it's supposed to be diverse, right? Different art styles, different scenarios. What ends up happening is that the model is collapsed to one art style and it always gives the same art style again and again. It's super boring, right? So for instance, FID is basically a distance that measures how close is my distribution to the true distribution. In this case, it's the real artist. The higher the FID, the more far away you are, right? So 76 is like you are very, very far away from your true distribution. So it's probably that you're not covering most of it. Now, a good baseline is why can I not use LLM generated prompts, right? I ask Claude to give me like diverse art styles so that I can prompt my vision model. And it gives me like so many different prompts. In fact, for each image that we sample for this distribution, we use a new generated LLM prompt. And it's context. That means we are not letting the LLM duplicate the art style, right? All these 8,000 prompts are generated in one go. And we ask the diffusion language model to check its list so that there are no duplications. And we also run like a duplication test that there are similar art styles are not repeated in this 8,000 prompts. So that means this is the full potential that I could get out of a language model if I were to say, do not repeat any art style, be as diverse as possible. And we get like much closer than the generic prompts, right? 38 FID, like that's almost half, more than half close to how it was compared to generic prompts. The final one is we train concept sliders. And how do we train it? Is we use language models again to give us training prompts to train a bunch of sliders. And now there's an additional added bonus is that we sample random number of sliders and compose all these art styles, right? So for each image, you are sampling three different random concept sliders and you are composing them in different variations, like 10% Renaissance and like 20% Van Gogh, 50% Picasso. And each image has, like now there's an added level of variation. And it doesn't really close the gap. It gets to like 32. That's, yes.
How many concept sliders can you combine at max?
So it's a funny story. In our paper, we've combined 50 because that's the most number of sliders we could come up with for a one single concept.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we have this huge dictionary of sliders, people have shown up to 100 and 200 that you can combine.
Nice.
So in this experiment, we combine 64 sliders just to keep it consistent with our slider space, which I'm going to show next. Right. So we train 64 concept sliders for 64 different art styles. And then we compose them in a very random way. Like we pick out three sliders for each sample, three random sliders, and have them varying in different scales.
A bit of an out there idea, but it's not about doing RLHF with the sliders.
Mm-hmm.
So like get someone, maybe yourself, and then have a RL agent that like can control the sliders and then at certain points present something and then you give feedback and then you just keep doing it and see like where it goes.
I think that's a new method on its own though. Like RLHF sliders is like
I like the idea.
I like the idea though, yeah. It's pretty good.
So is the real artist like there, is that a photograph in the left? Like do they have photography? And like maybe that's why it's so, because like it looks like the ones that are being generated are all like paintings and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but the real artist has more like digital art and like I don't know what the gray one is, but it looks, you know, it's
like
I mean?
Yeah, there are photographies, there are comics renditions, and there are like so many different art styles, but we, that's the hope that we maybe would get to,
yeah,
it with all these different methods.
How close would you get to the real images if you just took the real images and noised them and then denoised the partially noised image?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't. That's maybe a good baseline to have. We could test that. On the top of my head, maybe not as much as zero, right? It wouldn't be very close, especially because do you look at the generic prompts? They're all like very more collapsed. I suspect a little bit that maybe you could be pushing these denoised images back to being this more collapsed. But since you are denoising them only till certain extent, some of the attributes still exist.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be as close. Definitely closer than concept sliders maybe, because you have the true distribution and then you are using that to generate it. But I wouldn't assume it would be exact match. The model would definitely destroy it at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. By the way, this real artists are generated by the model.
Oh.
These are not, yeah, I should have explained it. This is not directly the training data set that we collected. Since we know these are the artist names that can be generated by the model, we condition the model on those artist names and get these images. The reason we did that is because diffusion model itself is not very good as natural as a real image. So there's already a gap between the true distribution and the model generated distribution, and we didn't want any such noise in our experiments. So we let the model generate its own gold standard by having this list, which we usually don't have when you have a new model. But since we have it, we just used it on.
When you In your fourth baseline, you write three concept sliders and get a specific FID score. How does the FID score change with the number of sliders that you write?
Yeah, I'm going to show you.
Mm-hmm.
The final is slider space. So with slider space, again, to just hit to the home, the point is that it's the model that's giving us the directions. And it is the closest that we could get to the true distribution without ever having to name the artists again. With slider space, we again generate 64 sliders, like 64 sliders from slider space, and then do the same sampling that we did for concept sliders. Randomly pick three sliders from the slider space, vary them with different intensity scales, and then generate the images. And if you notice, except for the LLM generated prompts, rest all of the baselines are going to use the same generic prompt, which is art in the style of a famous artist, except concept sliders and slider space are really tapping into the model's knowledge. Concept sliders is tapping into the human knowledge, whereas slider space is looking at the model's entire knowledge that it has. So, yes.
So again, with the baseline with real artists, where was it all generated with art in the style of artist name? So like the same prompt, that's like that prompt.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, art in the style of Van Gogh, all the 8,000 names we have.
And what if you take like the real artist split, like you take the real artist data set, just the FID with half,
ooh,
just to see like what the lowest possible thing.
Good review question.
That's a good question. Yeah. Yeah, I'll take a note of that.
The slider space score.
No, we don't have the training set though, do we?
Oh, no. I think she said split this data set into two.
Oh, that's what you're asking? Self-FID?
Yeah.
Self-FID.
Is that a thing? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it's a good question. Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, it should be low.
I mean, nobody has done it before, so I don't know what the outcome of it would be.
Because maybe it's like 19 and then you did it.
Yeah, the natural question is with the real data set, but we don't have.
We don't have the real data set.
So what is the one that was 8,000 art images or artists that was from models?
Yeah, that's on the model. We know 8,000 artists' names, so we prompted the model to give me the generated art. So that's the generated art too, except it's the gold standard exhaustive list of all art.
The slider space score in the end is with concepts derived from CLIP, right?
Yes.
How does the FID score change with different embedding models?
Oh, I don't have it for art. I have for concept decompositions. I should do it for art too, yeah. Just to be consistent. I haven't done it. This is such an expensive experiment. And like we didn't have time to do it for rebuttal. We did have the question from the reviewer though. I could do it now. FID on art. Okay. So yes, turns out slider space represents more of the true distribution of the model's knowledge compared to the baselines that we have. So here's one of the questions or related questions that Jan was asking, which is how many directions or like do I really need to cover most of this like the distribution? Like if you see this, if you have 64 concept sliders that are generated by language models, turns out with 10 slider space slide directions, you can cover the distribution that concept sliders is covering. So it tells us that how much restrictions that we are putting on ourselves and on the model when we explore it with human described knowledge or like language described, LLM described knowledge.
So how many concept sliders again?
Concept sliders are 64.
So, okay.
Slider space, we varied like different number and we found like with 10, you could cover what 64 concept sliders are covering.
So like, I didn't catch that earlier, like these 10, they computed from just one prompt with bunch of different random noise.
Yes, one prompt, a bunch of different random noises. And then we look at what is a model really varying.
So that, but that same one prompt that got really a horrible FIE score.
Mm-hmm.
Should just look at the outputs.
Right. Oh yeah. There's a
good point.
And then you filtered all of these outputs with clip. I think 5 PC 8 10.
Yes. That's a really good question. I'm going to explain how we did it. But yes, I would keep that in mind. That's a very good question, which is when we looked at this generic prompt, right? Literally, that's the prompt we are using to create slider space.
That's wild.
That's supposed, like, technically, that's supposed to give us only one direction, right? Which is this washy looking art style. But we got like much closer to the distribution. And I have a nice visualization to maybe try to give the intuition on why that happened. But yeah, it is wild though. Yeah, it's pretty wild. So here is the, but concept sliders is not bad. I have to also defend concept sliders.
Who wrote that one?
I don't know who wrote that one, but it's such a good paper. So what we really found is that the FID is really capturing how much of a distribution did I cover compared to the true distribution, right? There's a second question I could ask, which is the samples that I'm generating, how diverse are they inside the distribution, right? In one single distribution, how is the distance between each image that I have? So if I do the same metric on the original model, that means I'm looking at the same art style and the distance is probably not too high across the bunch of 10,000 images that I generated with the generic prompt that I have. So when we look at how much the gray bar is, how much the original model has, and it's not very high, it's like 0.3. With slider space, you actually improve that diversity inter-sample distance. It goes pretty high. Now you have like much diverse representations. Turns out concept sliders also has the same or like similar amount of diversity internally, like inter-sample distance. So the outcome of this, or like the takeaway from both of these plots together, would be concept sliders and slider space are going to give you the same amount of diversity inter-sample. But what slider space does is that it covers the true distribution of the model's knowledge, whereas slider space is just covering the human describable knowledge part of it, but still giving you like the same amount of diversity, right? If it makes sense. Okay, so I think I'm doing good on time. Wow. So should I train this on every concept that there is? Maybe not. Right. We've trained these sliders on FaceNet embeddings. So that means this is a different encoder, not Clip anymore. Because Clip doesn't have really rich representation of a human face, which is interesting. I didn't expect that to happen. But with FaceNet, when we trained, we got directions like long hair, wrinkled. The cheekbone is probably not cheekbone. It's something else. It's like some ghost looking thing. These are the best labels that Claude could find. But these are some of the labelable directions that I have that I'm showing here. There are more directions which we couldn't label, and it's honestly like hard to show what they are. But yeah, some nice directions. You can use the same sliders on a different concept, like police during inference, and it generalizes to that concept, right? Like also to athlete, it goes to that direction. It just generalizes well to that direction. But you can ask, but it's very boring, right? Because police and athlete are also people. And this generalization is probably something you expect. We found that it also generalizes to out-of-distribution samples, right? Like dogs with glasses, dog with a hoodie. Apparently, that's like the closest it could get with a hoodie. It just have a nice mane on top. There's a wrinkly old dog there. So the original label for the long hair was Jesus. I didn't put it there because I thought maybe I'll offend some people. But yeah, apparently the Claude described that dog as Jesus dog. So it was fun. It generalizes pretty well to other concepts. So the directions that we are finding, I don't know what it tells about the model itself. Maybe the model has pretty clever representations that it's encoding efficiently, which could be used across different concepts, even the ones that we would think are not in distribution. All right, this is the final thing that I'll talk about is, now that it generalizes so well, maybe I can have universal sliders that would help with improving the diversity, right? So what that means is that there are base models of diffusions that are usually the ones, the most popular ones, right? Stable diffusion, XL, SD1.4, they're called the base models. They generate beautiful images, but they're very slow, right? You need so many time steps to generate them. So we didn't do it, but what the community did is that they tried to distill these models, but not in terms of the parameters, but to reduce the time steps that the model requires to generate an image. Right? That's the distillation that they do. So if the original model requires 100 time steps, the distilled model would require 1 to 4 time steps. And now we fix the problem of slow. A new problem appears, which is the images are not diverse anymore. There's a mode collapse. And that's one of the examples I showed with art. That's actually on a distilled model. And it is very mode collapsed on the art styles that it has. So what's the general thing that we want to do is that, okay, let's take this distilled model and let's train the slider space on all the concepts. What does that mean? Well, do you remember the image which I was showing that we generate a bunch of training images and then do PCA? Without using just one single prompt, we use diverse prompts from a pre-training data set captions, like CoCode data set. So these are like some of the pre-training captions that it has seen. And we take a bunch of pre-training captions and generate all sorts of diverse images and try to capture what's the most variating directions across this huge distribution, right? That's the slider space on all concepts. And what we see is that it's probably explained in 1 or 2 ECA directions, most of the variation. And rest, it just steeply, it drops very steeply because they're all mode collapsed. So there's not a lot of variation there, right? For example, if I were to talk about this, I'll take this same graph. So the top two directions are probably the washy looking art styles and rest of the art styles that the model knew when it was base model probably got suppressed in the time of the distillation. But they still do exist because we generated the real data set using the same model, right? So except the model doesn't activate them very often anymore. And what slider space does is that it captures all of these directions irrespective of how much variations that they are explaining. And we can artificially boost the variations by just sampling them more often than the other ones, right? The usual common ones. That's what we do with slider space in art styles. That's the reason we were able to get so close our distribution compared to the original model. So now we do that. So artificially, we are increasing all of the variations because we have the capacity to sample the directions of slider space that would capture the least variation directions and just increase their scale or have this weighted sampling where you sample them more often. So with that, we saw that we have this fast model that is also almost as diverse as the base model. And the fact that these are generic sliders, if once open sourced, can be just used with these distillation models as a universal standard, just to have this improved variations. So this is pretty neat, except like I still believe there's room for improvement. We did get much closer compared to the original. SDXL DMD is the distilled model. You can see how the FID is far away from SDXL is the base of the same model. But with slider space on DMD, we...
So DMD slider space is SDXL DMD slider space.
So SDXL DMD model with slider space attached. So yeah, that's the project we have so far. There are some directions which we are thinking for like what could be next, or is there something that we didn't cover? Well, we think that slider space is really capturing the visual variations with these sliders. But like there are other abstractions that we could find in these models. Is does the model know that a face has eyes, nose, and smile? Right now, when you ask for face, it gives us like all these long hair and sort of things. But does it know that it's made of eyes, nose, a mouth? Is something that I don't know, like how to describe that part of things. It's a different abstraction. Can we do this with minimal or no data at all? Like how much can we learn from weights? Is a potentially another direction with one single image when the model is generating, and we, if we capture these activations, how much of the knowledge variation can we capture with that model is also a potential direction in the future. But yeah, that's pretty much what I have for the talk.
Well, good. That's good.
If instead of PCA you would do sparse autoencoder,
I don't know.
On the clip embeddings, you know, like you turn your data, you turn whatever you see it the directions with a bunch of clip embeddings. Instead of PCAing them, you could SAE decompose them.
Yeah, I haven't thought about it. I need to think more about it. But that would also require like the same thing, right? Like you need to probably label it post-discovery. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, it would be just different directions again.
And we could steer the model with SMEs too?
Oh, you just get more vectors. It's just a different way of getting vectors. So you could use them
For training the sliders again.
Yes.
Maybe they wouldn't be as naturally ordered.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you wouldn't know at which you should look.
Right.
So for your question about does the model know that a face is made of eyes, nose, and smile, what do you think of this direction? So like step one, you ask to generate eyes, nose, smile, respectively. So, and see if by default, like these are like in faces. And then you use your erasing concept model and like remove those concepts and then ask to draw a face and then see if like for like if it actually removes the eyes, nose, or smile, like does that like, because I know it is just like one direction, but not like both sides, but is that like?
Yeah, that's actually one of the directions we're trying.
Okay.
We have some results, but maybe it's for the next talk that I have during ICCV. But I can give you like the spoilers. We found that when you erase such hard encoded concepts like sky, car, or nose, the model has a very hard time to erase it. And it feels like they are so hardly encoded in the model that if we really want to erase it, we eventually end up breaking the model. But we did try it on these slightly less aggressive concepts like horn and unicorn. Like if you erase horn from unicorn, it does draw unicorns without horns or just a horse. And then we try to look at which layers do this. And they seem to be pretty causal to look at it. Yeah, but yeah, we'll like Jaden has like so many nice visualizations in this to show. Probably for ICCV, I'll just keep you in the suspense.
I had a follow-up question, but I'll...
No, you can ask follow-up questions. Yes.
Okay. Do you think, like, these concepts, like, since they are, like, as you said, hardly encoded, that means that maybe you might find matching activations to say that these were, like, for eyes, and, like, those activations of eyes show up when you're trying to, like... make a face or something.
Wait, are you sneaking into our meetings without knowing us?
We
literally talked about this last meeting. We should probably look at these patches of eyes and look for similarity.
Okay, cool.
But yes, we don't know the answer.
Okay,
that's the thing that Jaden is looking into now. He's going to look at if you ask for an eye. Sorry. Wait, if you maybe I'll ask an easy question. If you ask for parking lot, the image naturally, the model naturally draws car in it.
Mm.
And if you ask a car, it draws a car.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at only the patches that has car in both of these images,
mm-hmm.
we should be able to find some common representations in some subspace, some layer.
Mm-hmm.
And if we find it, is that, like, it's a question for us too. Mm-hmm. Is that a question? Is that evidence that probably there's an association
mm-hmm.
across parking lot and car?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, can we break it? Can we like manipulate it?
Mm-hmm.
Is a potential direction that we are looking at. But yeah, you read our minds.
How would you get a hierarchy for that? I feel like parking lot is like lower than car, right?
Yeah.
There'll be some crawling, like some search.
Oh yeah. So it could be like different. So that's a good question, right? Like, for instance, if I ask, how do you break the concept of a horse? You could go as low as, sorry, you could say, yeah, it's made of like a head, it has a mane, legs. You could also go like more deeper and say like the skin color, how many hoops or whatever. Hoops.
Yeah. You would just take the representation and see, like, try to decompose it into other representation that you already know.
Maybe.
Or like, how would you distinguish parking lot from car, right? Like,
it's probably not a lower level feature, because if it has car in it, it's like somewhere sharing the representation or like taking some of the representations of car.
Right? Yeah, but then is car a low level representation, right?
It isn't.
Right.
Right? Like, car also has wheels.
Yeah.
So maybe in parking lot, we should also break it into wheels. So
is wheels a low level representation?
I don't know. Wheels have cars.
So in the SAE, they have like a meta SAE thing where they also like do some decomposition and then take at the individual features that they find. Maybe Einstein breaks up into science and physics in Germany or whatever. They take the Germany feature and break it up, and in the end they will land up, there's a bit of Einstein in Germany as well.
Yeah.
And then
what's he still doing there?
Huh?
I thought he moved to New Jersey.
Yeah. Oh, Princeton,
moved to New Jersey. Wow.
But
it's like having this graph, right? It's like probably there's circular connections in there. You probably get to the same thing,
right?
Yeah,
it's just graph crawl. Who's doing a graph crawl this week?
Mm-hmm.
So you know. I hadn't thought about this for the whole development of this paper, but you know, distillation is such a big deal. Just a little bit of distillation seems to have shaken up the LLM world a few weeks ago, right? With the DeepSeek folks. Do you think that this kind of method could be used to recover some of the lost capabilities when you distill language models?
But there's a different distillation.
Mm-hmm. Still.
Here you distill into the same
architecture.
Yeah.
Same parameter size.
Same. But you just reduce the number of steps that you take.
Yeah. But
no. Even if the distillation is weights distillation, you could use the same method to capture all of those directions. Right. It has nothing to do with one-to-one correspondence of aspects. It has to do with the sampling method. So you can sample it even though if it's a smaller model. You just sample a bunch of things and try to recover these not so well represented concepts again back to.
Okay, so I mean, you could also imagine if you're worried that this is not good at recovering parameter diversity, if you reduce the parameters. There's going to be this future question, because reasoning models are going to be so darn slow to do inference on.
They are horribly slow.
They're so horribly slow. Oh my gosh! Wait. Let me think about this again. Hold on for a second. Wait, I'm not sure about this. Let's think about this again. Right? They're just like a diffusion model. Right? Yeah. And so we're definitely going to get abbreviated versions of these.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah.
And then I think it raises this question, oh wow, this is kind of interesting, right? Once you make them dumb again by distilling away all the thinking, Is there some way to say, oh, we know where the smarts are, can we bring that back? Right.
So one question I had, which I imagine would be hard to capture, but have you explored trying to like encapsulate like physical like concepts in Pope, like the idea of like gravity, like the idea of like acceleration or something?
No, we tried out something slightly different. So with concept sliders, we captured the direction of repair, which is using like some text prompts like natural, physics driven. The model was able to fix its own mistakes. All using text prompts. We didn't use any additional training. It's just these adapters. We try to break that concept and see what happens. I don't have labels for it, but it does something very funky. I could show you more results. I don't have a slide or an image for it, but I could show you just the results.
But I was thinking about the figure where you have like 10 directions from slider space versus 64 from your concept sliders. Like, so that what was on OFID? Yeah. Do you feel like this tells you anything about like the cardinality or dimensionality of what the model knows, or is it just that the stuff that we know is limited?
I think the yeah, maybe it's a bit of both. I think we did restrict like with 64 sliders, we couldn't cover like 10 sliders from what we discovered from the model. So it feels like maybe we don't know all of it. That the model knows, like that's the comparison, right? This FID is across what the model knows.
Okay.
So compared to the model, maybe we don't cover a lot of distribution. But that also says that after 30 or 40 directions, the model is also pretty much going down, like it's flattening at a point. So it feels like there are these 40 directions which could cover most of what the model knows. But 10 of them are like covering what we know. I feel like it's a bit of both of what you said.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the reference distribution too. But yeah, it's a good point. Thanks.
Now, the shape of this curve might have been different if you plotted a different one for each different subject or something. Is that right? Like, if you said for just people, then you might see
a different curve. Oh, yeah.
Like, there's more directions.
Yeah.
And if you say mountains,
less direction.
Fewer directions.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Right. This is just for the concept art.
Yeah.
And yeah, we do have those plots somewhere. I don't know where.
Like for other distributions.
For other distributions. And yeah, it just it's probably an appendix. If not, I could show after the presentation. I need to find it. But yeah, like we found that some of these concepts, like person, is represented across a larger number of dimensions compared to art styles like Van Gogh. That's the least. It's probably represented in 3 to 4 directions, whereas person was represented in 40. So it's pretty interesting.
Did you run out of this on BioLab cluster?
yes, most of it. The discovery of this method happened in Adobe's cluster. The final experiments happened in our service, most of our service.
And you did most of it.
No. So the art one ran on the Adobe's cluster. Rest all happened in all of your machines. Thank you.
But you were sleeping.
But you were sleeping. So many of you like messaged me in the middle of the night. Oh, leave it to it. Like, sorry, my bad. Yeah, you had some other questions? No? Okay. Oh yeah, so,
Knowing that most your examples are about images with like a single object there, for example, just one person there. It's so the slider, if you apply some slider to it, it just adjusts the features of the one object. I'm thinking of like if there are like multiple objects, for example, there are like two different people. If you want like one person to be older, one person to be younger, then
That's a very good question. I'll show you one follow up work on concept sliders. It's called text sliders, maybe.
Maybe some of the concepts about like relationships or like you have to bind something to some entity.
Yes. So these people have those. What is it called?
Main control prompt sliders.
Do you know what's the
what's the issue?
What's the professor's name who did Stable Diffusion?
Omer. Omer. Bjorn Omer.
Oh, Bjorn.
Omer. Yeah, Bjorn Omer. Yeah.
Wow, so many papers.
I know. Yes.
Oh my God.
He's got Patrick Esser and going nuts.
Okay, I'll try to find it. Okay, I'll try to find that for you, but they have tried to do it for this multi-concept decomposition for sliders. There was a fourth application for slider space, which we didn't really go through, is you could dissect a customized concept. For instance, if you train both of us together as one concept to the model, like there's a customization, which you can add our faces to the model. We can add it together, both of our faces. And when you train a slider space on those customizations, sometimes you get sliders which are specific to me, and sometimes you get sliders that are very specific to you, like two different subjects. But that's very rare case. Most of that happens across all the subjects.
But it's not like a consistent.
It's not consistent where you have separate and I have separate. There are one or two sliders that come out that way. So we thought it wasn't maybe as interesting.
Yeah, I thought of a project about like building a system to like help artists to have better control on like generated image, but we don't have like much good idea about how to do this with like
on control.
Yeah, maybe with some like mechanistic methods like.
Oh yeah, I could talk to you. There are like so many ways to do it.
Yeah.
I could probably talk to you after the meeting. Oh, yes.
It's so like kind of theoretical, but it's more of like in your intuitions. Do you think that like any two pair of like human semantically meaningful images are like connected? Meaning like there's some set of sliders with human semantic concepts that you can essentially slide from one image to the other, or do you think that there's like a conceptual like gap between
Keeping semantics aside, any two images that are generated by diffusion models can be interpolated across each other. The question of can I find the right sliders to interpolate it is very interesting. You should be able to do it. Maybe you can. There is this, I'll go back to concept sliders.
The other question, I found the paper after you're done.
Which one? Okay, which one?
Yeah. It's called continuous subject specific, that guy.
Oh yeah. Oh, thanks. So this is the paper I was talking about. So they train sliders for that one specific man token. And then if you just slide that, only the only the man gets older. Whereas with concept sliders, you're just training for like old in general. So everything in the image gets older.
So now you're back in the cross attention,
Right.
With this, with this, you're back in
so
the
it's like you apply the slider on a specific
token.
token
Yeah.
in the like text problem.
Right. This is there are like other ways to do it. You can mask a portion of the image and only let sliders go there. We in our code base, we have a way to do it where you can select the portions on which you want your sliders to be applied. So that's just an alternative for this. Especially like if you just have the prompt, a close-up of a couple, then it gets hard to do it based on this method, right? Because you didn't really specify both these subjects, which is usually the case you are explaining to me. So in such cases, you can have like a mask and only
Yeah,
have.
sometimes in mask, sometimes maybe like this associate it with some concept like or tokens.
Exactly. Yeah, if you have tokens, best way to do it. If you don't, mask it and use concept sliders or use this at the same time.
Like masking is the most natural thing for
An artist.
like if I mentioned this is a Photoshop plugin now, something.
It is a Photoshop
Right.
Summer at Adobe.
plugin.
Nice. I should download
the
new
new
Photoshop. Do you have like
Photoshop.
jailbreaks or like, do you have some keys or press?
That's right.
After the meeting is stopped recording, then I'll probably tell you some stuff. If Adobe is listening, I don't know
I think students,
anything.
Northeastern students get Adobe Creative Cloud,
Oh yeah,
I think, but I don't know if postdocs get.
I don't know. Yeah,
There some like additional
I wish
plugin
I
you need
knew
to
some
buy or
students.
something, or is it included in?
Oh, it's included in the Photoshop Pro.
Then I think we have access to
And they have a free version of it. It's called Firefly. I don't know if it's free anymore or not. Firefly also has this plugin.
So your concept sliders are in Photoshop Pro.
Yeah, we open sourced that, so I didn't really go and edit, apply anything. They just took our method and
But
used
they
it.
are in there.
They're in there.
Wow.
But yeah, slider space probably won't be. Because they are mostly concerned about the speed of discovering it. Right now, it takes 1 hour to discover 64 sliders.
But then you could just upload them to CVDI and then they could download them.
And that's what is happening now. There are unofficial code implementations of it. There are already slider space in CVDI. But yeah, even though the code implementation was not right, they work so well. I wonder if it's a different method of its own, which yeah, I could reach out to the whoever.
That's a crazy impact, honestly, of
Oh, thanks.
this interpretability work.
Yeah, so there's a n nice story about this. Concept Sliders was actually inspired from this author here, Tingrui Zhu. He is a high school student from Japan who just happened to look at we raising language diffusion concepts from diffusion models. He took that work, implemented it on low rank directions sliders, sorry, low rank adapters, and said that you can control the erasure effect on how much you want to erase a concept. And he had this open source repository of it, but it was all in Japanese, and we didn't know how to, so we just asked him to join our team, and then he just helped us.
It's a very cool story.
Yeah.
So,
So,
how, if the LoRA came with this guy, what did you do before to delete the concepts?
well, we fine-tuned the entire layer. I think LoRA was just implemented, or maybe was like wasn't as popular in the vision community.
Maybe it's had it in your PhD thesis.
You did?
Sure. We were all rank one.
Oh, the rank one thing.
Right.
Exactly.
But we
We
didn't
didn't
have
have
the
LoRA.
cool name. Yes.
Oh, but UC was rank one, so
Yeah, I know.
you should have thought of
We
it.
should have thought of it.
See, that's.
Right. As soon as you mentioned you did this, it's like, oh, that should be our paper. That's room. And I said, find this guy.
Yeah. We had like these Google Translate apps to talk to each other, and yeah, he would write all his code in
How did you
Japanese
find this person?
on Discord.
On which Discord?
He has his own Discord. Like, so I emailed him on the GitHub.
How do you find a random guy's Discord?
Like, no. He has a GitHub repository.
How did you find the GitHub repository?
Like just going through open
Because
source.
he was making sliders.
He was making sliders, and open source community was like trying to get into it.
They were trying to figure out the Japanese.
But most of
Oh.
them contacted me because the repository had, this is based on erasing.
Oh yeah, it
And
was a fork of your
it was a fork
repo.
of my repo.
Okay.
So it was like he didn't speak English. So people reached out to me, and I was like, okay, we need to close this barrier. Like, let's just bring him in and make this method more stronger. So the Lico had it's called Lico. That's what he named it, low rank erasure of concepts. And then it had its like our erasing concepts had its own issues. Like, it changes the image a lot. So we worked on, okay, how to make it more precise, more continuous. So yeah, he just helped us do all of this as part of it. Yeah. Pretty cool story. And now, yeah, he has like his own follower base, and he's like, he retweeted my tweet, and it got like so much attention. I was like, wow.
Oh
We help each other now.
my God.
So there is stability in Japan as well.
He's hired by Fale AI, FAL.
I know. I follow the CEO or something.
Yeah. He was hired by them. Now he works for them. He makes sliders. He's like
Did he
working
ever finish high school?
on. I didn't talk to him after that.
I'm
He probably didn't, or like maybe he did, and then he stopped.
glad you took him into your project.
Yeah, me too.
It's good.
I had a very weekend college
Yeah.
dropout, another
So they drop out of primary school.
We didn't have diffusers library.
Right.
That's the only problem, I think.
Well, thank you, Rohit. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you.